that is becoming more digitally connected by the day, being connected to the truth of God's Word has never been more important. This is why my church exists, to meet people right where they are with the power and freedom that only comes through the Word of God. We are a fully virtual church with multiple ministries designed to make the truth of the Bible accessible to anyone. Whether it's through our website, YouTube channel, or the My Church channel, our faith-based streaming network available on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and LG TV. Our hope is to connect and grow with you. Check us out and come be a part of the My Church family today.
Good evening. I'm Pastor Steph, and welcome to Women of Worth. Now, if this is the first time that you are joining us, guess what? You're in the right place. Because as Women of Worth, our mission is to teach, encourage, and empower one another to be the virtuous women that God has called us to be by providing a genuine environment of transparency and support where you can learn and grow. And we hope that your life will be enriched by this program, because our goal at My Church Virtual Ministries is to offer an array of faith-based programming that ministers to the entire body of Christ, such as the Leadership Academy, the Man Cave, Women of Worth, Marriage Seer Training, Medicine for the Mind, the Heart of the Pastor, Victory Today with Apostles Tony and Cynthia Brazelton, and The Enjoyable Life with Pastors Russell and Vita Cash. You can find the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and LG TV, or simply download the My Church on the Go app on your favorite mobile device from the Apple or Google App Play Store. So, I encourage you to share this broadcast with everyone, not just someone, everyone, everyone you know. So, with all that being said, let us bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Father God, we just pray, God, that you just have your way. Lord God, I pray that women here tonight will listen, and Father God, that they will receive a word that will help them grow, help them to just, you know, deal with various struggles. Lord, I thank you for our guest, and I just give you praise for her and the fact that we both as women want to empower women and teach women how to be the godly women that you designed us to be. And Father God, we just pray for everything to go according to your plan and your will. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place, and do what you do best. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm going to tell you. Now, I don't know about you, but I am so tired and exhausted of seeing the various strife that we have in the United States of this America, on the continent of North America. I mean, you know, all 50 states. I mean, it is just completely exhausting. And, you know, it's honestly, it's more than, you know, the political strife. You know, we have natural disasters that have been off the chain. You know, not too long ago, we had a horrendous flood to flow through Asheville, North Carolina, and literally wiped out towns. So, you know, there's just so many different things, y'all, that everybody talks about, you know, how the earth is crying, like, awakening, like the woman with labor pains. And everybody talks about, you know, the end of times, the end of times. Well, you know, one thing I know, the Lord said, we will not know the day nor the hour. Okay. So sometimes people will go to the total extreme of you're going to go to hell because of the end of the times. Well, I couldn't pay my bill last week. So how not paying my bill and not, you know, tithing like I should caused me to go to hell. Okay? So sometimes people take things so literally and get people confused. And one thing I want to do is talk about different things that are going on today and just how we as women can stand firm in the midst of chaos. While I was working on this, the Holy Spirit really, he identified to me like a tornado. Had spins. You got the eye of the storm. You know, you got how it originated. And regardless, our goal is to stand firm. Even though a tornado may come in and wipe out a town, but somehow, some way, a little blade of grass is still holding on for dear life. Or a tree, you know, that you thought would be blown away is still rooted. So in the midst of that chaos, they stood firm. Why? Probably because they had their roots dug in deep. And we have to have our roots dug in deep into the Word of God for such a time as this. So I want to bring in my spiritual daughter, Sarah Hobson, Pastor Sarah Hobson with Hill City Church in Lynchburg, Virginia. My oldest used to say, Lynchburg, Virginia. So, you know, so glad to have her. And I'm going to bring her in, my spiritual daughter. Where is that? Okay. My spiritual daughter, Sarah Hobson. Woo! I did it.
Hello.
Yay. Hey. How are you?
Good.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for joining me on Women of Worth tonight.
Thank you for having me.
You know, I don't know if you were kind of listening to the introduction about the chaos. I don't know about you, but I'm tired.
Yeah.
Just exhausted. And I try to guard my eye gates. I try to guard my ear gates, you know. Mm-hmm. Now
it's
it's everywhere, mm-hmm. Sarah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not just the things that are going on, like with DEI and ice sweeping through. I cut on the television the other night and it said Married to Medicine. It's this reality show. Now, there are about five beautiful African-American women that are established doctors, but they are acting like they came straight out of, you know, mm-hmm. off of top of one of them bouncing cars from Compton. I mean, the way mm-hmm. they carried themselves, honestly, it was embarrassing. Mm-hmm. My oldest, you know, of course, my girls are older now. You know, Kaya will be 26 in February. I know, right? Did your bones just crack or what? Woo. And Courtney, she will be 23 in January. Wow. So they are right in the thick of it, you know, and please don't think I'm trying to age you at all, Sarah. That's not what I'm trying to do. But if you think about the things that you had to deal with at 23,
Very different.
Isn't it different?
Very different.
The things I had to deal with at 23, heck, that's different. Mm-hmm. And I hear them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I hear them get discouraged. Sometimes they get angry. You know, I laugh at Kaya sometimes. Kaya, I don't know if she's going to march in the streets to darn self. I mean, she is, she is on fire. And, you know, as we've taught her, okay, so you're going to have to work with other people, period. And because you work with other people, you're going to have people with different cultures, different experiences, personalities that are going to come into the workforce or even a customer to deal with that doesn't line up with the Word of God and can poke the bear. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care how sweet we are. There's an area that Satan knows that he can highlight in red for someone to poke the bear. And what I mean by that is, you know, antagonize somebody. Use the Lord's name in vain. Talk about Christians and believers and agree with so many things that don't honor God. Mm-hmm. And it's not only the unbeliever, it's the believer. Mm-hmm. And there was one of my friends a few years ago. And of course, you know, again, I'm not trying to talk about politics, but when politics happen, culture changes, period, you know. And she was like, my daughter was asking me, why is this going on? You know, who's going to be president? Mommy, I don't understand. And she's like, I don't know how to explain that to her. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, let me tell you, the word has a wonderful passage that talks about the state of the last mm-hmm. days. Mm-hmm. And the goal is to, for as Christian women, to focus on standing firm in our faith.
Yeah.
Definitely discern what's the truth and grow in spiritual maturity in challenging times.
Yeah.
Now, you have a young congregation. Mm-hmm. How are they coming to you about different things that are going on that, you know, are downright disheartening?
Yeah. I think this is so spot on because I do think that that is the big push within our bodies, right? It's that the encouragement is to stand firm in your faith. Mm-hmm. And it is that I think we could sit back and see how the anxieties of the world mm-hmm. can be very so front and center mm-hmm. and really a distraction from the truth. And
yes.
So I do that our challenge as shepherds of our body, of the church that the Lord has entrusted us with, these souls, it is to stand firm in your faith. Mm-hmm. Did a sermon series. So there's a book out right now. And basically it's how this generation has been labeled the anxious generation. I don't know if you know what the book, I've heard of it. Mm-hmm. We did a sermon series, which, you know, if we think about it in a lot of senses, it's kind of what we're seeing, right? There's what breeds anxiety? It's knowledge, it's knowing, it's information, right?
Right.
And this has so much access to information at such a young age that anxiety begins to breed a lot sooner than most of us.
Yes.
And in the sermon series was, of course, I'm forgetting the name, but essentially it was, we're not going to be the anxious generation. But the faith generation.
Yes.
That was the word for the body was, I know society is trying to label this generation, the anxious generation. Mm-hmm. We're not going to receive that. We will be the faith generation. Mm-hmm. I think that is the call right now in light of, we have a choice, right? Every morning, mm-hmm. Every day we have a choice to either indulge in the new thing on social media, the new thing on the internet, the new thing on the news, or to affirm in the faith, but to deny our flesh from receiving the things that's breeding this this fear and this anxiety. Mm. It's important, right, to understand what's happening in our world, but at what cost, wow. Right? Really have to know everything that's happening. If it's causing you anxiety, or if it's causing you fear, if it's causing you to doubt, you know, I would question. Maybe you're overindulging in your intake, your information intake.
Yes.
The intake of information is coming from the wrong source. You need to be getting more information from the Word of God so mm-hmm. that you can. So that when you hear just the reality of our life, of the world, you know really who holds it all.
Right.
I'm not moved. I'm not shaken like everyone else is. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so easy for people to shake. You know, you think about people that are terrified. If you watch a movie or something, you know, they're shaking because, again, they're shaking at something that's not real. Mm-hmm. You know, but our stance is not to shake loose, you know, to stand firm. And honestly, I'm looking forward to the new year. You know, a lot of times everybody's like, Lord, whew, I'm so glad 2025 is going to be over. Well, you know, we only have but so much time here on this earth. Mm-hmm. And I'm at a season in my life where I want to make these last decades the best decades of my life. Amen. You know, because looking back and thinking about harboring on all the negativity from each year, there was a lot of things I wasted. Mm. And most particularly time.
Yeah.
You know, and if y'all would, you know, and you know, what am I trying to say? If you would allow me, I want to read the whole chapter. It'll only take a few minutes of 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3, starting at verse 1. So again, if you have your Bible, which I know you do, if it's on your phone, please look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 1. I'm reading this from the Amplified Version because it jumps out. Now, when I read this, I know you want to think about other people, but also think how these situations affect you as a woman, as a Christian woman, and how it can affect your children and future generations. So it says, but understand this, that in the last days will come set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Ooh. Golly, I'm tired just reading the first verse. The second verse, number two, says, for people will be lovers of self, narcissistic. You hear that a lot. And utterly self-centered, lovers of money and aroused by inordinate greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents. And I want to pause right here. You know, it's not just children being disobedient to parents. I've witnessed adult children being disobedient to their parents, especially when they're at an age, you know, when they need your help. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you downright are disrespecting them. Mm-hmm. You know, so you got disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. They will be without natural human affection, callous and inhuman, relentless, admitting of no truce or appeasement. Whew. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate and loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce haters of good. They will be treacherous, betrayers, rash, and inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements lovers of God. For although they hold a form of piety, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. And it says, avoid all people, turn away from them. You know, that's hard because we got fools every day that we interact with, whether it's in a grocery store or, you know, at work, it doesn't matter. And sometimes you have some skipping right into your church that you have to deal with, right? But I really want to look at verse 6 and 7, okay? It says, for among them are those who worm their way into homes and captivate silly and weak-natured and spiritually dwarfed women, loaded down with the burden of their sins and easily swayed and led away by various evil desires and seductive impulses. These weak women, would listen to anybody who would teach them. They are forever inquiring and getting information, but are never able to arrive at a recognition and knowledge of the truth. Yeah, Selah, we're going to stop right there for a minute. You know, sir, when you hear, you read or you hear where it says, captivate silly, weak-natured, and spiritually dwarfed women. Do you think a lot of women get offended by that?
Absolutely. I think at first read, you're like, oh my gosh, why would you say that about a woman?
Yeah.
Like, what? Did I just read what I thought I read?
Yeah.
Right. I think that's a natural, like, guttural, like, I don't know that I want to keep reading. But I think you need to keep reading.
Yes.
You understand really what it's saying. And yeah, I think there is this,
Sure. Yeah. I mean, really, yeah. You know, cause I'll admit, you know, when I read or read anything about how women are quote unquote dwarfed or, you know, I used to get offended. My flesh would. But then I began to think about it. I said, you know, when it talked about among them are those who worm their way into homes.
Yeah.
I know some worms. I had some worms roll up into, not in this home, but, you know, in my lifetime. And I thought about worms. I said, worms, they slick, they're dirty, they're nasty, they come out when it's bad weather, right? And then when the sun comes up, they dry up and shrivel. And, you know, especially when we're living in chaotic times, it will feel as if you're in the midst of that storm. So when someone comes to a woman who is desiring a connection, that's when the silly, weak-natured, and spiritually dwarfed woman can come out. And, you know, even where it says the burden of their sins.
Yeah.
What do you think about that statement?
I think that, I think it's just the, like, right, we all know those things that, we all know the things in our life, the sins in our life that make us feel like, oh, I can't believe I fell into that again. And I think that's kind of how what I feel when I read that is like, there's that thing that makes you feel loaded down. But I also think what happens when we get into that state of mind of like, there, I did it again. I fell into sin again. If we're not careful, if we're not mature enough in our faith, we begin to receive and believe the lies that the enemy will begin to tell us, which I think just makes us more and more susceptible to our evil desires and our seductive impulses, right? Like it continues on. I think if we're not careful, when we are vulnerable, if we are not firm in our faith, we're going to be swayed and led away because the burden of our sin, you know, I can only think of my own life, right? What is it? It doesn't, my natural inclination of when I feel burdens, when I feel like, not so much so heartbroken by my sin, but almost like shame. I'm less likely turning to the Lord because I feel shame, because I feel like you're disappointed in me. So the burden is less about because I'm heartbroken over my sin. But to me, I feel like this is that like burden of, oh, I sinned again. Shame on me. I'm unworthy of God's love. So I'm just going to keep going that way because I just, he doesn't want me in his presence anyways. And what a lie, right?
Yes. And you think about with verse 7, it says, these weak women will listen to anybody who will teach them. They are forever inquiring and getting information, but are never able to arrive at a recognition and knowledge of the truth. So, you know, a lot of women I have encountered in my lifetime, they will believe what Steve Harvey has to say about relationships, or Oprah, or, I mean, you know, even Tyler Perry. Yeah, you know, he's talented, quote unquote, but there's some things people will actually believe that he says. Mm-hmm. And when you're weak and you're looking for something because you think there's nothing else, you're going to look into other things. You're going to inquire at things that are not going to build you up and make you firm and standing in knowledge and in truth. Mm-hmm. When I was in college, you know, and I was talking about Courtney, you know, being 23. But at one point in my life, I was angry at God. Cause you know about the story of my dear friend from high school, and she and I went to JMU together, and she was abducted and killed. Mm-hmm. And I was, when I say angry, I was angry, to the point that, you know, I was like self-medicating. I stayed high. I stayed drunk. I had some friends that a guy named Art, and if Art, you're listening, I love you, but you know, Art is now pastor. So Art and Dee Dee, boyfriend and girlfriend at the time, they would bring cassette tapes, any chance they can get about, you know, somebody preaching or some song. And I remember looking at them and saying, look, will you stop bringing me this Jesus? And I said, an exploitive. That's how bad it was. Then I got into this thing where, okay, you know, because I was thinking that way, I didn't care about myself. I allow worms to come into my life. And, you know, because they came into my life, it totally rocked the fabric of what I was raised on, quote unquote, or grew up in. I mean, I literally ran up a telephone bill, I think, to over like $200. Now, back in 89, $200 was a lot.
A lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. Calling a psychic on the phone to ask about my future, you know, to ask whether or not Jimbo loves me or not, you know. And because of that, Lord, now that I talk about it, I'm like, Jesus, whew, thank you, Lord. But, you know, I carried shame, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. And shame deals with so much of one's identity that they miss out on what the real truth is. Amen? Yeah. So, whew, I got a little passion. I'm sorry. I went back. I was trying not to go back, but I went back. I couldn't help it. So, you know, and of course they talk about like people, tickling the ears, and in verse 8, it says, now just as Jannes and Jambres, they were magicians who could duplicate some of Moses's miracles, you know, and they thought they could, they were faking, but they weren't able to stop the plagues. And it says, but especially the gnats. And these magicians call them the finger of God. You think about a gnat. Ooh, have you ever had gnats just fly by you?
Drive me nuts.
Yes. Yes. And then sometimes it'll get to the point you even think you saw a gnat. You know.
Yes.
It's not, you think it's there, but it's not there. And when somebody's trying to present something that isn't the truth, it's not right, it's not there. And it can be just as bothersome as a gnat. And our job is to be able to smash those gnats. Mm-hmm. You know, fruit flies. Oh my God. You know, those type of things. Things that are intrusive that pop up. But yeah. If you have somebody who is trying to trick you and they have depraved or distorted minds and they are reprobate or resistant to repent and they're counterfeit, especially as it relates to faith. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so easy to be seducted. Now, I'll give one more example, and then I want you to, you know, provide me some feedback, you know. So as a young first lady, mm-hmm. Pastor Tuck's first church ever, it was mm-hmm. a Baptist church in a little country town. And if anybody who doesn't know, when you are a wife of a pastor, and sometimes it's a lonely existence. I mean, I don't know if you experienced that or not. Where, you know, I didn't have friends at that time because I stood on the truth of the word, Pastor Tuck and I changed our lives. The circle of friends that we had, they left. They disappeared. So then I had to figure out, okay, how do I get another circle of friends? Mm-hmm. So two young ladies, they're about my age, really my age, mm-hmm. quote unquote, wanted to be my friend, quote unquote, wanted to hang out with me. And mm-hmm. every time I look at the statement, a reprobated mind, this particular person would say, girl, yeah, they got a reprobated mind. And now when I look back, I want to say, fool, you're the one who was reprobated. You were the one who was resistant and didn't want to repent. Mm. You know, and that person was counterfeit, meaning they were fake. Mm. Oh my God. Both of them were fake. I couldn't see it at the time because I was weak. I wasn't strong-minded. Yeah. I wasn't prepared to get with people that were going to help push me through chaotic times. But instead, mm-hmm. they basically supported whatever was going on in chaotic times. They gave yeah. me poor information, and I was stupid enough to believe it. Mm. And for years, I carried that on my shoulder, carried that in my heart. And it caused me to put up barriers and would not trust people in the church. You know, Pastor Tuck, the Lord told us the birth ministry, we had our core, you know, that included your husband, who is my son, who I love to life, you know. But there were some that came along with us that were counterfeit. Mm-hmm. And in a time mm-hmm. such as this, in the time of chaos, mm-hmm. when you cut on the TV, when you're talking to people, when you see people in church, you know, not living the life that they're to live, you know, it kind of causes you to not lose faith, but be disillusioned. Mm. You feel me? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You want to comment on that? I went on a tangent. I'm so sorry.
I love it. That was good. Thanks for sharing.
You know, the thing I love in verse 9, it says, these particular people, the worms, the reprobated minds, it says, but they will not get very far their meaningless nonsense mm-hmm. and ignorance will become obvious to everyone.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
What do you think about that?
The verse that talks about everything that's said in the dark will be brought into the light, mm. I think is the mind. Mm-hmm. And I think that, that's just what comes to mind when I hear this, when you were reading this verse, I was like, the Lord is always going to reveal what's in the heart of a man. And so I, you know, that it's going to become obvious eventually, who they really are. And, you know, I think it's a reminder, hey, the Lord will always get the victory. They think that they're the ones who are winning. They've convinced you to go down this certain path, but they're not going to get very far. Their nonsense and their ignorance, the Lord will shine a light on it, and people will see them for who they are, because you can't hide what's really in your heart, but for so long. Right. You can't wear a mask of who you want people to see you to be, but for so long before you're exposed. Yeah, I think that's just what was coming to mind as you were reading that.
That's quite all right. Because sure enough, you know, like you were telling your congregation, you know, not to get caught up in things that are in the media, but spend more time with your intimacy in Christ, you know, in the Word. And Lord knows, every time you turn around, something pops up where somebody's ignorance becomes obvious to everyone. And what I thought was, okay, when it becomes obvious, how are you going to respond? Are you going to attach yourself to the negativity? Are you going to allow yourself to hear, you know, I have a comedian that constantly pops up on my feed and every other word is the F-bomb. Now, I've tried, you know how you try to move it where you say, you know, you're not interested.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think the algorithm is like hooked to my ankle or something. I don't know. But he still pops up. And I'm sitting there looking at him like, dude, do you know how you are representing yourself? You know, how are you going to respond? And it says in verse 10, it says, now you have closely observed and diligently followed my teaching, conduct, purpose in life, faith, patience, love, steadfastness. One of the things I thought about was how Paul, you know, Timothy was Paul's son, his spiritual son. You know, everything Timothy learned was watching Paul. And I don't think Paul was hiding anything. If anything, his flaws were exposed, but yet he dealt with it in a way that caused the further expansion of the church. And I remember Pastor Tuck, he would always tell James, you know, one of the things I wanted to make sure when you first met me at the age of 17, the Lord told me that you didn't trust certain clergy out there. You didn't trust pastors. You thought they had a second agenda, blah, blah, blah. And the Lord told him clearly, told Pastor Tuck, let him see your life. So, you know, James, he'd come in the house. He'll go in the refrigerator. You know, you would come in the house and, you know, chill out. Kai would paint your fingernails. You know what I'm saying? It's just. You had to observe. And, you know, I don't know, and I know you do, but if you could go back and think about some of the things that Pastor and I taught you and Jay, and you go, wow, you know, you did probably didn't make a lot of sense then, but now.
It makes a whole lot of sense.
And, but that's a good thing because you are obedient.
Yeah, I think there takes a level of humility to be able to receive things from those that the Lord is putting in your life that called you to glean from, right? I think there are always people who are trying to come in our life, but I think the key is, but who are those people the Lord is calling you to glean wisdom from? There are some people who are trying to give you things, right? They're trying to worm their way into your life. He has said, hey, receive from them. And I think that's why it's so important to know, right, who are those people that the Lord is calling us to not only give wisdom, but to receive wisdom from. And also, I think that you need, there needs to be a level of humility in order to receive. Because right. the thing we're going to see and hear, I don't need that, or that's your opinion, or that's your struggle, or, you know, we always see how, you know, what, how outside looking in, right? We always see the problem and we always see the solution. And it's like super simple. Mm-hmm. If you walk in those shoes, you realize it ain't that easy. It's not that simple. And so I think, you know, there's something to be said about just being willing to receive and not being a listener, right? Not always, mm-hmm. I don't know how to speak, but I can be a listener and an observer. I don't have to critique everything I see all the time. And just mm-hmm. because it's not necessarily relevant to my life right now, doesn't mean that I might not need it later on. And mm-hmm. and so I think there's a lot of things, and I think I've, you know, I've shared with you that you and Pastor have deposited in us that we didn't even realize. Mm-hmm. There are things that we were exposed to that equipped us and prepared us for things we didn't even know we needed to be equipped for.
Mm. Right.
But because of our obedience in that season, because we submitted to who the Lord had over us, I believe the Lord was able to plant seeds through you guys in us that he would later water, and he would later allow us to walk in the fruit of. And so,
wow.
Yeah.
And, you know, ladies, you know, what Sarah and I are talking about, again, you think about Paul and Timothy's relationship. Paul was a catalyst in causing the ministry of Jesus Christ to just expand. And what he was doing was imparting things into Timothy, and Timothy carried that seed.
Yeah.
And when I look at the seed that was planted from us into you and how it has grown and flourished, you're passing on seed not only to your children in the house, but to all the other spiritual children, to all the other members and churches and, you know, things that y'all are connected with. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, of course, when you do make this expression that, hey, I'm for Jesus Christ, Christ is this, he'll change everything, I rely on him. And because we are living in the quote unquote last days, you know, you're going to be persecuted. Mm-hmm. So I was like, Lord, you know, what do you mean? Or what does Paul mean when he said last days? Mm-hmm. Many times, again, people use various scriptures to kind of pigeonhole somebody into feeling fearful, mm-hmm. you know, feeling condemnation because they didn't stand up to certain things, you know. Mm-hmm. And I look at the last days, especially with the examples that were used, as the last days could be any day. Because you think about it, if Paul wrote this letter, umpteen gazillion years ago,
yeah,
all right, and here we are in the year of our Lord 2025, getting ready to roll into 26, and this stuff still applies.
Ooh. Nothing new under the sun.
You got that right. I know sometimes, I know God is like, what in the world? And the Lord is like, well, you know, we can go ahead and rapture them up. You know, it won't take nothing but a second. Hey, we know who we want. We know, you know. Uh-huh. And again, we don't know when the rapture is going to take place. Mm-hmm. But we do have to be mindful that these particular behaviors, yes, they've gone on for years and years and years. But you got to focus on how it affects you in the year of 2025, rolling into 2026 and forward. Mm-hmm. Because anytime somebody either rededicates their life to Christ, because we have many believers that have walked away from the relationship with God. and will rededicate their lives. And here comes the persecution. Why? Because they're trying to pursue a righteous life. Mm-hmm. And in verse 12, it says, all who delight in pursuing righteousness and are determined to live a devoted and godly life in Christ will be hunted down and persecuted because of their faith. God does not promise deliverance from persecution, but deliverance through it. Mm. That kicked me.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, persecution definitely can come from others. Persecution can come from the systems, you know. Mm-hmm. But God, he helps you with deliverance through it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think about, oh Lord, even when I worked at the VA, okay, how I was treated. And I always had scripture somewhere on my little countertop or on my computer, or if a person, a vet would say they were a believer, I would jump right in and pray with them in scriptures and those type of things. And then it got to the point that at that time we weren't allowed to put up Christmas trees or anything related to religion, you know? Oh. So over time, you know, I told one supervisor, I said, look, my family comes first. You know, my husband's a pastor. I help him. So there are going to be moments where I'm going to need days off and blah, blah, blah. And over time, needless to say, when I developed MS and I was unable to physically work, they allowed me to work from home. Then all of a sudden they told me I couldn't, you know, on and on and on and on. Mm. And the stuff that came back from the case that I pursued and presented, the EEOC complaint, the person that was representing them, man, they were persecuting me left and right. Mm. And I could have chose to call them, to cuss them out, you know, to put nails underneath someone's tires, you know, to spit on them every time I would see them, you know, but he helped me with deliverance through it. Mm. This year, I finally received the last final notice about their decision about my case. Because again, it was regarding reprisal, and discrimination. And there were some EEOC laws, ADA laws broken. I can go on and on and on. But they still stood beside the fact that, you know, I wasn't going to win anything. Mm-hmm. And I looked at Pastor Tuck and he was like, well, you know, we need to pray about it if we want to continue to pursue. Mm-hmm. I thought about it. I said, daggone it. A part of me wanted to say, yeah, I want to pursue. We got 30 mm-hmm. days. Get it on the calendar. I'm ready. Mm. And the Lord had to go, psh, 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 you know, it was like, do you not recognize how much I have blessed you for your faithfulness through this time of uncertainty, through this time of, you know, losing your ability to walk, and during this time of not having your check for a whole year? They didn't pay me for a whole year. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting now in the home that I plan on leaving celestially from, that is designed to accommodate my needs. Mm. And sometimes when Pastor Tuck do these additions, it blows our mind. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times we don't know where the resources come from. Mm-hmm. But we know it comes from him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I thank God that he promises deliverance through it.
Yeah. And I love that because I think it's such a good reminder. I think a lot of times, right, when we're going through something that's heavy or hard or unjust or unfair or, you know, whatever that looks like, whatever that type of persecution looks like, whatever that trying season looks like, we want to just get through it, right? We want to rush through it. We don't want to. It's already hard, so I don't, why does it need to be even harder to get to the light at the end of the tunnel, right? But in God's economy, that's just how things work, right? Like, in God's economy, like, we don't get to rush the bad to get to the good, because even the bad is good.
Say that again.
Because it has God's hand on it. And so even, right, as you're sharing the journey that you've been on, right, even all the bad was good because of what it produced in you. And I think what I love about the Lord and his, in knowing about his character, like, either God is always good or he's never good. So if God is always good, what does that say about him when I'm in a storm? He's still good because he's always good. That's just who he is. And so, so if God is always good and I'm still in a storm, God must know something that I don't know about this storm that's for my good. The minute I get out of it, the roots of my faith are going to be deeper than they were before I got into the storm. The faith that I had before the storm is going to be that much more firm before the storm. And I just think, like, I love that the hope of the gospel is that nothing is ever wasted as a believer. Wow. Nothing in our life is ever wasted in God's economy. He always has more for us. He always takes what seems unusable and he makes something phenomenal out of it, something miraculous out of it. And so, you know, I love to just hear how in your journey, it's such an encouragement, I think, to us even as women, right, of like, literally all of these comforts of yours are being stripped away. Then you have every right, so to speak, to act however you want to act. Because it's like, God, I've only been faithful. God, I've only been X, Y, Z. Why me? And yeah, I'm gonna milk them for all they got. I don't care. But how beautiful that, because of the history you have with the Lord, because of the faith that you've allowed him to build in you, the character you've allowed him to build in you, you have allowed yourself to be refined by him. You allowed yourself to be able to sit back and say, actually, I don't have to keep fighting that fight anymore. Because Lord, actually, above and beyond, you have blessed me beyond my, I couldn't even write this story if I tried. And I think people would look on and say, but Pastor Stephanie, this and that, but Pastor Stephanie, you still have this or Pastor. And I think it's only by the power of God. It's only because he delivered you through the persecution. And saying to say, I might not be 100% healed and able to do all the things that I used to do, but because of what the Lord has been refining in you, you are 1,000 times more healed than you were before this moment. There are pieces of you that the Lord has been able to heal that he wasn't able to access before the storm. Wow.
That's good right there. Because Lord knows we are good at putting up walls. We may think we're putting up those walls to prevent access. And, you know, God already knows.
He does.
he's sitting there like, okay, so what you trying to do? You trying to pump this wall? And yeah, isn't it funny how we think we can know better than God?
Always.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, even with this passage that we're going through, the fact that Paul was teaching Timothy, and then mm-hmm. Timothy began to speak about the faithfulness and the teachings of his mom, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. Mm-hmm. You know, they taught him through childhood about the scriptures.
Yeah.
And our responsibility as women, as mothers, is to teach our children the word. They have a problem, show them in the word how to resolve it.
Yeah.
And it could be from, you know, how old is your youngest?
She's almost 4.
All right. So it could be getting some crayons out, pulling some paper out, and she draw a picture of what's bugging her. And then you can help her draw a picture of how God can help her through that. See what I'm saying? So there's different things we can do developmentally in the stages of our children's lives mm-hmm. to impart the word of God. Mm-hmm. My mom, you know, she took me to church every Sunday. I sang at the choir, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Every Sunday she was there. Now, did she know the word inside and out? No. I mean, very little. But there were two things she taught me. She taught me the scripture, I could do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And the first song she taught me is, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that scripture was the scripture she and I shared throughout my lifetime, throughout her lifetime, excuse me. So when I would be in therapy, in physical therapy, and I had to learn how to stand for 2 seconds, and I would shake, my legs would fall, and boom, down I go. And I would say to myself, I could do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Mm. And I push even more, you know. Then as the days continued and I continued going in, I could have got discouraged, you know, because we know we're dealing with systems like a hospital system that basically wants to bill your insurance. And you come across some people who don't really look at their job as a ministry. They look at it, their job as a means, and they'll do whatever they have to do to like buck the system in order to get a better reimbursement, you know. I dealt with some of those people in that place. But because that, what my mother taught me, mm-hmm. I was able to say,
yeah,
it either caused those individuals to go away from me, which is perfectly fine, because I was waving at them like, bye, go ahead and clock out, you know, peace. But, but God always replaced someone who was a believer, and maybe they'd not be as strong as I am, but it was an opportunity to minister.
Yeah.
I stood up first time for a minute and, excuse me, Lord, it had been almost 3 years. But what really got, it was 6.5 weeks. We had just moved here, you know. When I stood up and tears just came flowing, you know, and they were like, oh, it's okay. Miss Tucker, are you okay? I said, y'all leave me alone. I said, these are tears of praise. This is not tears of sadness. This is not tears of discouragement. These are tears of joy, tears of praise. You know, and because, you know, we live in a world that's so chaotic that wants to be instantly gratified, they forget about instantly praising God.
That's good. That's good. That's good.
You got to do it.
That's good.
And, you know, because how Paul taught Timothy and Timothy gave the foundation to his mom and grandma. We all have foundations. Your mom, your foundation, your grandma, bless her little sweetheart. You know, seeing how hard she had to, you know, work and et cetera.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I love what you said, because I do think, you know, it's one of those things where we hear people say about, you know, giving the Lord praise when small things, the big things, like just out of our mouths, actually thanking the Lord regularly out of our mouth. You know, I think we hear that, right? Or when we're young, or even when we're young adults, right? We hear people talk about the value in that. That's so extra. Or I did. I said, thank you, Lord. Or, you know, you kind of like, you don't really get it. You don't really get it. And I know for me, I didn't really get it until I got it. And then you do realize, because right, what happens is you don't realize how much really the enemy is squashing our praise. Because we become so accustomed to one way of communicating with ourselves about the world, about our situations, about our surroundings, and we don't even realize how much we neglect the Lord. How much we are robbing the Lord of glory that is his by being so engulfed in what we see in front of us that we've forgotten that God is in the midst of that. And so the things that are on our lips are not praise, but their anxiety and their worry and their fear and their
anger.
Their anger, and it's granted, all of those things might still be true. But when we give those things a louder voice, we forget actually like that God is still at work.
Yes.
And so I think, I know for me, I didn't understand the value of truly saying, God, thank you. God, thank you for just, God, thank you for this day. God, thank you for unity in my home. God, thank you that my children love each other. God, thank you that my husband loves me, that I, you know, those little things that I think we are like, they're just whatever.
Yeah, little things.
But what happens when that becomes the song in our home instead of, it's going to be another tough day. Oh, it's going to be another, you know, it's going to be another filled with X, Y, Z. You know, if that's the soundtrack of our life, the sighs and the I don't know how I'm going to deal with this today. Then what's going to happen? Then that's the fruit we're going to end up producing. Right. And, you know, I never in a million years, I'd like, that's just, you know, I didn't think that was a big deal. Oh my gosh, but that scripture is true, right? What we say really does matter, because it takes roots and it plants seeds. And the more we say it, the more we nourish it. And so I think, God, just the thank you for the small victories that really are big victories. They really are miraculous things that have become mundane things and come commonplace. But I think in a world where all we have on a regular basis and everything we see and hear is negative, and it is what is wrong and what is hard and what is not right, who's going to be that voice that begins to say what is right and who is mighty and who is strong? And there is joy I can have joy in the midst of the heart. You know, it's like there has to be, who's going to start to combat what feels so loud right now? And I think us as believers, us as women, we have the power to really shift the atmosphere in the environments that we're in, because our voices do matter. Our attitudes matter. Our perspectives matter. They are infectious for good or for bad. And I think the minute we understand that about ourselves, like, the Lord has given us authority in that way. And the minute we receive that authority and walk in it, then I believe his power can flow through us to shift atmospheres where people can look on and say, how do you have so much peace? Do you not see what's around you? I see what's around me, but I'm okay. Because I know who my God is. So I don't have to be shaken, but I'm also not ignorant. So, you know, it's not this like, oh, be ignorant to have peace, to have joy. No, you can know what's happening. But that soundtrack is not louder than the soundtrack of my Jesus' soundtrack.
Thank you, Lord.
He is. But that takes work. That takes work.
Now, right there, what you said, it takes work. Because I know women that are probably listening to us now, like, oh, yeah, okay, that's easier said than done. Okay, Pastor Sarah, Pastor Steph, y'all, you know, y'all got it together. Y'all, whatever. All right. So, yeah, it may be that way. But guess what? It takes work.
Lots.
It's a decision.
Yes.
It's an effort.
Yes.
And a lot of times people think, oh, the gospel is just supposed to be so flowery and sweet and this, that, and the other. And I laugh. Pastor Tuck said during the days when he first started pastoring, he was sending everybody to hell because of the tone of his voice and the things that he said. You know, he's like, you're going to hell. You know, everybody going to hell. But anyway, so one of the things he loved to say, and this is in verse 16, and you say, how do I do this? So every scripture is God breathed, given by his inspiration. So in other words, if it ain't in the Bible, then, you know, that's the person trying to tickle your ears. And profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness and holy living in conformity to God's will and thought, purpose, and action. The work. The work requires training. I mean, it says, the work requires discipline. You're disciplined enough to watch the Sherry show, or, you know, Jennifer Hudson's show, and let something come on in my church channel that's going to better your life, and you ain't even trying to look at that. See where I'm coming from? Because one thing for sure, I can say anybody that's on our channel are legit. There's no gain, financial gain. There's no anything that you think may trick someone, because unfortunately other people who represent the body of Christ or think they are, they do some shady stuff, but not on the My Church channel. Because the goal is to expose you all women and the believer to things that's going to help you do that work.
Yeah.
You know, to put that effort in. To pursue righteousness in a chaotic world.
Yeah.
In a chaotic house, not just the world.
Yeah.
A chaotic job. A chaotic doctor's office. I mean, anywhere chaos is, y'all, you know. That's what the word is for, is to help us to learn what God's will is for us. God's will in thought, like how we're going to think, how we're going to repent, change our way of thinking and do things different.
Yeah.
No. It is our purpose. Women, we have a purpose. I mean, we do. And one of the main purposes is to bring life into the world or be maternal to the all children that need a mama. Because, of course, the worm and the enemy will try anything to destroy the woman's womb. Why not? That's where that weak-willed and et cetera. But anyway, you know, trying to disrupt the beauty of what our purpose is. And, you know, discipline and obedience and training in the holy living, definitely for action.
Yeah.
Our action has to be conformed to God's will. Boy. What I read earlier at the beginning of Second Timothy 3:1, what it talk about all them behaviors, right? And as women, you got to look and say, you know, how can I receive God's will through actions? You know, how am I going to be? What do you think about that, Sarah? And then go ahead and close out. In fact, before you start, let me go back. I'm going to read the things that Paul was warning us about. And just kind of, if you can, sum it up how you can use your thought, your purpose and practice and action, excuse me, to cope through all these things. In the last days, it says, will come perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with, hard to bear. Boy, for people who will be lovers of self, narcissistic and utterly self-centered, lovers of money and aroused by an inordinate, a greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant and contentious boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. They will be without natural human affection. God, oh, I'm sorry, I got to pause right here. It hurts my heart to know that so many programs are being cut out and people are really struggling out there. I've been a social worker the majority of my life, and I've dealt with people that needed SNAP, that needed their insurance. You see what I'm saying? So this particular last day mentality has no human affection. They don't want to admit of any appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers. They will be intemperate and loose in morals and conduct, old, uncontrolled, and fierce haters of good. They will be treacherous betrayers, rash and inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasure and vain amusements, more than and rather than, my God, lovers of God. For although they hold a form of piety, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. It says, avoid all such people. Turn away from them. Now, that's a lot. That's a mouthful. But in every verse, we know we are definitely dealing with stuff such as this. So what would your advice be? And we'll close out with how you think women can embrace God's will in their purpose, their thoughts and actions.
The first thing that comes to mind is having a posture of humility. We can't receive things from the Lord if we're prideful. Because we then, when we're prideful, we don't think we need to receive anything from him. There's nothing that I need to change or I need to release.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, at least I know for me, when I maintain a posture of humility, I'm able to receive what the Lord has for me. And I'm also able to receive it in a way where I'm less resistant.
Wow. That's good.
And when I say humility, I think practically speaking, I mean just open and humility for me is a understanding that God, you are holy. Mm-hmm. And I think I know what I need and I think I know the path my life should take. Mm-hmm. But humility tells me I don't actually really know. So God, would you show me? God, would you not only show me but also help me to receive? In light of this verse, humility says, God, I know that the last days are ahead. I know that there are hard times ahead. Humility acknowledges when I've fallen prey to some of these things. Humility allows me to repent. Lord, I've been one of these things. And I think repentance also opens us up to receive not only forgiveness, but, truth. And I think the more that we posture ourselves in a way where we are humble before the Lord, I think for me, what I'm trying to say is like humility is a posture of God, I give you access. I give you access to me. I give you access to my mind. I give you access to my heart. I give you access to my hands and my feet. I give you access. And what a beautiful place to be before God. Because then he can do something with that. He can't really do something with us when we're close-fisted and when we're prideful. Because when we're prideful, I don't need anything from you, God. I got it.
Wow. Because so sure enough. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sarah. Excuse me.
No, how do we expect to know the will of God, to be able to be in line and in step with the will of God for our life if we have a posture of pride and of just coldness towards him? We can't, we literally can't. And so I don't know if that answers the question, but that's
you're
just
so sweet. Yes, it but does. Yes, it does. Cause you know, when you speak of humility, sometimes people think humility is a sign of weakness. You know, it's a sign of strength because you're going to have to remove your independence. You're going to have to remove your resistance. You have to remove your pride, everything you said, and say, look, you know, I rely on you, Lord. Mm-hmm. We can't rely on systems. You know, that's why churches have clothing ministries and food banks and, you know, not for a motive of any ill will of what we hope not, but you see what I'm saying? There are things that have to be done that are going to require us to be in that posture. And mm-hmm. we can do it. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just a lot. And the only thing we can do is pray. Because if you're not careful and you're watching the news all the time, you're going to think the news is right in your house. You know. My mom and dad will watch CNN every time I call them. You can hear it in the background. Mm-hmm. And they would get so upset. And finally, I was like, y'all getting your blood pressure up. trying to fix all these corrupt systems. And y'all in your 90s. walking with walkers. You know, what are you doing? But that's what that sensationalism, that's what that visual stuff you were talking about earlier does. God. So all we could do is pray. And speaking of which, Sarah, first I want to thank you for joining me this evening. I always love when we have to do this because I get to see you.
Yes.
Since we live in two different states now, huh?
I know.
Isn't that crazy? But
it is.
But, you know, I thank you for you sharing yourself and being transparent and saying, yeah, you know, the fate of this chaotic world can get to me, but I know what I need to do in order to be in the presence of God. So if you could, I would like for you to pray us out and then I'll make a few announcements.
Sounds good. Father God, thank you for this time to spend in your word. Thank you for the reminder of 2 Timothy 3. God, I thank you that even though we are given an understanding of the terrible times ahead, God, I thank you for equipping us with your truth. God, I thank you for equipping us with those who have gone before us, who have left us an example, who have deposited in us your word. God, I pray for the women who are watching this tonight, Lord. God, that the seeds that have been planted in them, God, that you would use this time to water. God, that you would use this time to empower them and equip them to stand firm in their faith, to not be shaken by the things on the news or on their feed, but to stand firm on you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for your love for us. God, I thank you that you you give us hope. God, I thank you that Jesus is a victory. And so those of us who find ourselves in relationship with you, our lot in life is not destruction, it is victory. Glory. And so no matter what is happening in this world, those of us who call you our Father and are submitted unto you, God, we have victory. Mm-hmm. We don't have a place of defeat, but we fight from a place of victory. And so, God, I thank you that is our hope, that is what we can stand firm on. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And Sarah, again, thank you so much for being with us. Now, if you've been blessed by this broadcast or any of our ministries and would like to help us continue to do what God has called us to do, you can sow a financial seed by using Cash App, $MyChurchChannel, or visiting our website at www.lovemychurch.org and click Sow a Seed. Amen. All right. God bless you, ladies. I'm so glad to have you. God bless you, Sarah. And please stay tuned for our announcements. Love you. I was going to say, I love you, Sarah, but kiss, kiss, kiss. All right.
I won't let you go until you bless me. There's got to be a resolve on the inside of the church. Woo, glory.
He says, you show up and let the Lord speak to you. Glory to God.
First responsibility of leadership is in your home. And that's why it's your ministry to your spouse and your kids that matters the most.
Different from ever before. If your recovery is fresh, or if your addiction-free lifestyle.
I want to be able to rejoice in the adversities that were there.
We're seeing all of these things happen. And the sad thing is, it's happening by our own decision. You know, a lot of people deal with a lot of depression, anxiety, frustration. Just thinking back, man, you know, how long this run has been going with us, man.
That's right.
You know.
At my church, we help people get better by teaching them how the Word works, and we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the Word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church on the Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move, check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.